All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, HOCKEYSEASON, at ZephyrEpic.com. That'll get you $5 off your order, and they have free shipping anywhere in Canada on orders over $50. We're also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's. Convo DD, all one word, for 25% off your order and free delivery. My name is David Quadrelli. I am joined, as always, by the man who built the place and in an Abbotsford hotel room, Harmon Dial. Harmon, how's it going today?
It's going awesome. It's always a great day slash evening with you boys.
Yeah, so we recorded yesterday. People have probably listened to that. Day one of training camp. Day two has concluded. We left the rink, came to our hotel, and got a little fun night planned. We got to get this work out of the way, but it's going to be a fun night for the boys. Chris, how are you feeling?
Well, I feel like I just got jacked up. I lost my my hosting gig within a second.
I thought we said I was hosting because I'm not there tomorrow.
Literally, I said I was hosting, but you got freaking Cowboy over here in his boots, and he takes over the Alberta show right off the bat.
Alberta jeans.
I think Faber was right.
My bad. Whatever.
I was very, very right.
You can take over from this point on. You're the host.
Quads with the boots with a 3-inch lift in him so he can be taller than Jack Rathbone when he's standing beside him. Nice try. Yeah. Fun
he's
second
still
day
taller
at camp.
Than me. I met Jack today.
It was good. I got, I'll tell it a little bit later, but I talked to Vasily Podkolzin a little one-on-one.
You did, in English.
I'll talk to it later. A little English conversation with Podkolzin away from the media. Introduced myself. He's got to know who I am, right? Like, I think I've tagged him way too many times, or at least put out way too many videos.
Oh, these guys are on social media all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no way he hasn't seen it.
Yeah. Well, I think
he knows who Chris Faber is.
Everybody knows who Chris Faber is.
We mentioned you when you said you talked to a player for the first time, and then you were kind of like, hey, I'm Harmon Dial, nice to meet you. And they're like, oh, I read your stuff. And it's a weird thing to think that, but we were kind of talking about it like off air a little bit. Like, I wonder who the guy in the Canucks locker room is who is out there, you know, creeping on Twitter, reading all the articles. I wonder who the guy is. You guys look at each other. You don't want to throw a name out there.
I don't
want to
start guessing names.
That's fair. We're not going to start guessing names. Yeah, do we want to wrap up anything from day one before we start to get into day two? Because we had day two scrimmage. Day one was a little crazy for myself, if I'm being 100% honest. That video went nuts. And I'll tell you what, Twitter was a pretty harsh place. There was a lot of messages, and Quads, I showed you some of them, messages, replies. It was a harsh place, man. It kind of sucked. It sucked for a whole day there. Twitter was a little bit of a letdown, but I guess that's what you get for posting a video that makes OEL look bad. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah, people crossed a couple lines with you, and it pissed me off a lot.
Yeah, there was some real bad DMs in there. That was unfortunate.
I was telling
you. All I'm trying to do, and this is all I try and do at training camp, I get that taken out of context, that video looked horrible, but man, I'm just trying to get a lot of videos out from training camp and let people like get the feeling of being there. That's what I've always done at these training camps, and it's too bad because like I posted a video 7 minutes before that one of OEL looking completely fine, and it was you know, the first group is back out there for group A looking completely fine at escape, but obviously the one that blows up is him trailing so hard. So I just want to move on from it. It was a crappy day on social media. I had a crappy morning too until we got to day two of the Canucks training camp, and we got into the scrimmage. A lot of stuff to get into. Like, I don't know if you even took anything away from the drills at the start, Harm. The only thing I could maybe mention was, and let's get into this actually, because I do want to talk about this. We were talking about Podkolzin's shot, you and I, a little bit before we got recording here, and you were saying something interesting. Like, I think what you were kind of talking about was it's not Podkolzin's shot that's the problem. It's more about him like not using it the right way, is what you were kind of saying earlier.
Yeah, I think I talked about it a little bit on yesterday's podcast. The notion of, A, he kind of needs to be encouraged to use it more. And again, it just goes back to this, like my prevailing kind of, the biggest question I have about Podkolzin, and I've mentioned this before, is like, I just put myself in his shoes. The way he's been brought up and developed in the KHL, he's been taught if you try anything and it doesn't work out, you're stapled to the bench. Yeah. So coming to the NHL now, it's very hard to unlearn these things. It's not like you move from one coach to another and you instantly forget what your previous coaches were telling you. It's hard to get rid of those old habits. So one thing that I've kind of wondered about is, again, the difference between wanting to, when you arrive in the NHL, just wanting to fit in and not look out of place versus coming into a team and each time you're out on a shift, you genuinely want to make something happen. And obviously there are pros and cons to it, right? Where, again, like I brought up the Höglander example. Höglander came into camp and came into the regular season and immediately, every shift, he wanted to make something happen. And, you know, for other players, you know, they can do the same thing, but it puts them in trouble because they're turning the puck over a lot. And I just think Podkolzin is going to be maybe in a spot where some of that previous conditioning still has him a little bit hesitant to use a shot, to just be dynamic and express some of the offensive creativity that he does have at his disposal. So I've kind of wondered about whether his progression might be a little bit slower in terms of the offensive side. Because, again, in terms of details and in terms of being a responsible two-way player, and we've seen it at camp. He never makes mistakes. Yeah. So
well, that's the big thing you mentioned earlier was like, have we seen Pod Colson make a mistake?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen him make a single mistake.
Yeah, and that's been so impressive about him because it's you come in as a rookie and you're more expecting what you're kind of talking about, the spectrum of a Nils Höglander to a Vasily Pod Colson. You're kind of expecting the rookie to make a lot of these mistakes, to try some things and go out and, you know, screw up and then have the coach get mad at him. But it's like, the only thing I've seen Vasily Pod Colson do wrong was there was one drill where there was two forecheckers supposed to go in and Pod Colson goes in and then Green's kind of like hooking him back to bring him back to center ice and like smacks him on the helmet. And he's like, just two forecheckers. That's like the only thing I've seen Vasily Pod Colson do wrong. The only other thing I want to bring up that wasn't a great sign, because I think we've praised Pod Colson throughout this training camp because he has looked that good. I noticed him getting knocked over quite a bit. One time by Tucker Poolman in the scrimmage, one time by Jet Wu in the scrimmage. That's the thing that I don't expect to see a lot from Pod Colson, because I think he's strong on his feet, but maybe there is a difference between the KHL defenders that he's going against and the guys that he's going to see here in North America. Even one of them being Jet Wu, who's the guy who's going to play in the AHL. You know, when he got the body on Pod Colson, he planted him in the ground. There was another one in the corner where Poolman kind of just used his body and put him on the ground. Like, simple as that. So I'm going to be interested to see, because everybody's hyping Pod Colson up. It's like, look at the deep voice on this kid. Look at what he's doing. He's a massive kid. He's got bear paws for hands. Like, everything's hyped about Vasily Pod Colson. But that was just one thing that kind of stuck on the scrimmage to me that wasn't, you know, kind of building on the hype that he's done for these 2 days so far.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to read too much into him getting dumped in the scrimmage. And it wasn't even in the scrimmage that he got hit. Like, it was like a drill. It was like a battle drill that he got hit in. I don't really, like you said, I don't think that's something we're going to have to see often from Pod Colson in NHL games. Like, I don't know. I think I don't want to say he was trying to do too much in the drills that he was doing, but, you know, he was trying to blow past guys and the guys know where he's going. And I don't know. It just kind of seemed like when you're in a game, guys aren't going to know exactly which way you're trying to go. You know what I mean?
And what he said today, like when he was doing his media with everybody, was that, you know, he's excited for the games. You know, like he's enjoyed the first 2 days of practice here at training camp. He's enjoyed a lot working with JT Miller. And Harm, we've seen this. JT Miller seems to be on his side at every drill, showing him what to do, pointing him in the right direction. JT Miller has been that guy to help him. Everybody's worried about who's the Russian that's going to help Vasily Pod Colson, you know, transition to the NHL. But from what we've heard from Vasily is that he understands everything. Like, he's understanding all the English questions that we're asking him. He's understanding the coaches. He's having no problem. Even today in the media, he mentioned that he's understanding all the jokes, unless the guys start talking really, really fast and like ramping up on the jokes. He doesn't really understand the jokes when they get too crazy, but he did mention that he understands most of the jokes. I think that the interesting thing was to see JT Miller kind of take that leadership role through the last 2 days, because it hasn't just been one day. Both days he's been stapled beside JT Miller, and JT Miller looks like he's been helping him a lot.
Yeah, you mentioned his ability to understand English. I wonder if he's listening to the podcast, listen to Chris Faber. No, but with Miller, yeah, it's nice to see. And those two obviously taking line rushes together potentially could play together if Miller indeed does line up at center. Mm-hmm. And to see them kind of joint at the hip and Miller going out of his way to mentor him, and I think it shows some of the maturity of Miller, and it kind of goes back to I remember the whole narrative of Miller being there for Virtanen, and right. that whole story. And I think Miller's kind of embraced this idea of when he can see a prospect maybe in a similar kind of situation as him, you know, a top pick, someone who has strong physical tools, maybe it's just an opportunity to help the guy out a little bit. And in this case, it's really simple. It's just guiding him through drills, helping him successfully get through his first few NHL practices in English. And it's been really good to see. I think that's a sign of good leadership right there.
What about the final piece of that line in Garland? What have you seen from him so far? Because I know that we've had some off-air discussions about it where, you know, we've talked about a lot of the articles. I think all of us are putting out the same ones. Who stuck out for us at camp? You know, we're kind of breaking down the players that we think have stuck out. To me, Connor Garland hasn't really stuck out aside. I guess he hasn't really, the way that he's kind of finishing and the way that he's kind of just scoring goals, setting up things, even in drills, just firing off shots, making passes. That part hasn't been the impressive part to me. To me, the part that I've liked about Garland is like, the way that he kind of attacks and uses his body and, you know, shields the puck away from defenders through drills and in the scrimmage, that's the part that I like, because that's something that I haven't really seen before. And I kind of understand why people hate this guy, because every time he gets in on you past the blue line, he's shoving his ass into you. And like, he's getting as much space as possible for him to keep the puck away from defenders. That's the part that I've liked about him. But I guess the execution throughout him in drills, scrimmages, everything hasn't really clicked just yet. And I think he's in a great spot playing with JT Miller and Vasily Podkolzin. You couldn't ask for a better spot unless you're Nick Batan playing between Höglander and Besser right now. But that spot for Garland to be on the wing with JT Miller and Vasily Podkolzin, I've seen things that I liked, but there's certain things that haven't fully clicked yet. And that's probably an exciting thing with Connor Garland, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've seen the edge work. We've seen the elusiveness, the plays that he's able to make coming from low to high. And you can see some of the individual skills that he has at his disposal and some of the traits that make him a special hockey player. But yeah, he's been very quiet through camp, and that's fine. We're 2 days into it. And I mean, a lot of people talk about preseason games having no meaning. Well, we're still talking about training camp. We haven't even gotten to preseason. So yeah. I'm not worried about Garland yet. Give him a few more days. We'll see how he looks in preseason. And he too is obviously coming to a new team, new environment, and I'm excited to see how he molds once we obviously have Pettersson return and you kind of see the exact shape of the top nine come to fruition, especially in a game like situation. So I'm kind of looking ahead to Garland and more curious on what's to come rather than more reflecting what's happened to this point.
Because the potential for execution is there. It's just not quite happening.
Yeah.
I don't think through camp yet. We haven't really seen it. Guys like Jonah Gajewicz, Zach McEwen, they're executing, but the potential isn't as high as what we're seeing with Garland. I think the skills that Garland is showing are impressive. We're just not quite getting them in the back of the net just yet. But Quads, I got to ask you this question, because looking at the players that are kind of fitting in the top nine right now, we sort of have the Höglander, Patan, Besser line. We have the Horvat, Pearson, and McEwen line. Then we have the JT Miller, Garland, Podkolzin line. Out of that group of nine players, who is preseason the most important for, do you think?
Probably the Garland, Miller, and Podkolzin line.
Single player, though. Who is your single player out of there that it's most important for to see him in preseason?
To see them in preseason, I would say Podkolzin and Garland is a close second, because like Harmon alluded to, Garland hasn't shown too much. Like, he hasn't been bad, but you know, like, the elusiveness is there, like Harmon said. Like, we've seen that in the drills and in the scrimmage today. We saw that, but you want to see more, right? Like, they're paying this guy $5 million for 5 years. Like, they want to see more from him. And I think in the preseason, that'll be a really good opportunity to see that. That's why if I had to pick a line that it's most important for, like, say these lines go into this preseason, it's definitely the Miller, Podkolzin, and Garland, because Podkolzin and Garland need to show, like, they need to show they belong, right? And then Miller as well is probably gearing up to play center. Like, we don't know if Elias Pettersson's going to sign. And, you know, I brought this up on the show with you two gents yesterday, was Travis Green's probably preparing for a life without Elias Pettersson, at least to start the preseason for sure, but also potentially to start the season. So that's why Miller's playing center. And in his availability yesterday after we recorded, Travis kind of alluded to that. Like, he was like, we have no centers and somebody's got to play center. And
Nick Patan's a perfect example of that, exactly. Playing between Höglander and Besser right now.
Yeah, so if your season starts and you don't have Pettersson, you think Nick Patan's playing center?
I sure hope not.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly.
Patan, there has been some flashes, right? But to me, there's been flashes because he's playing with Höglander and Besser.
Yeah.
Heck, I would have some flashes if I was playing with those two, right? Like, you know, it's been kind of a strange spot for Patan because, like, he hasn't looked out of place that much, but he hasn't really been at the same level like I've seen from Höglander. I've liked a lot of Brock Besser, just a little the hands that Besser's kind of showing right now. Like, we always have talked about Besser being, you know, a player who's really upgraded the weaker points in his games. I think the hands is the one that, you know, people talk about the defense, and yes, he's improved his defense, but I've liked a lot of, you know, the moves that maybe the confidence that developed in Besser is letting him accomplish now. Like, he's able to make moves to get around a guy, to get his shot off, which we all want to see because we want to see that shot as much as possible. Harm, for you, kind of same question. Where would you go from that top nine players? Which one player is the preseason most important to right now?
I think definitely Podkolzin, because I think the coaching staff is going to be very cognizant of trying to walk that tightrope of putting Podkolzin, giving him enough opportunity, but also being able to, I don't want to say shelter or protect, but not throwing him to the wolves. And I think assessing where exactly he's at against NHL competition is going to be a crucial piece in establishing a foundation for what you think Podkolzin could be by opening night. And so I think
max him out like in a preseason game, like see if he can get to 21 minutes, like kill penalties, get out there, be on a second line. Do you think they get to that in preseason?
I don't think so. I think Travis Green, I'd expect him to roll, and we'll see based off of how they kind of, with the back-to-back starting Sunday and Monday, how they divide the two squads. Obviously, I think Podkolzin's going to be in Abbotsford for the Monday game.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to, preseason's never really, I think, the type of environment where Green would really overplay guys. I think he'd get pretty standard middle 6 minutes is what I'd kind of expect.
And Quads, I'll throw this one to you because I want to get this thought on Podkolzin, and maybe he figures into this for you, but we haven't seen any special teams work yet in the first 2 days of training camp. They have a game on Sunday after these 3 days of camp, a game on Monday. There's going to be power plays. There's going to be penalty kills. Is Podkolzin fitting in on either of those in preseason? Is there one that he fits on more than the other in preseason?
You know what? I would really be open to the idea of them giving him a look on the penalty kill, because again, like we've talked about all the penalty killers they have and how they're going to need guys to step up, and they want to move away from using Bo Horvat and JT Miller in the penalty killing roles. Like, that's something Travis has made pretty clear to us. So I'd like to see maybe Podkolzin gets a shot there. And, you know, like on the topic of special teams, when you're going into preseason, especially after the year they had last year, like we know that Travis and the staff want to structure their teams in a way in preseason that gives them a good runway to warm up for the season. And like, we're going to see the lineup for at least two or three preseason games. I think, like, we're going to see the actual lineup that they use. If you don't have Elias Pettersson, how do you get your power play proper reps? Like, who's replacing Pettersson on that power play? And not to mention Quinn Hughes, like, obviously Jack Rathbone can probably just slot in, and that's probably what we'll see on the first unit. But
not over OEL.
Oh, I guess that's a good point. But
I mean, OEL's, that's the one thing I did like about OEL was today I really, well, actually, you know, we'll get to this later because I want to close out. I got
to finish this because the reason I say Rathbone over OEL on the first unit, at least, is because I think OEL's actually going to be on the second unit. Like, I think he's actually going
to
be there.
I don't think
they
play enough players in a preseason game to, like, have to a
get
legit
the second
one
unit,
and
like,
two.
Yeah.
Like, I think they might have enough to put together a legit point. Number one. But I don't think they're going to have enough players to, like, a legit second power play unit.
Oh, I'll be interested to see it because, yeah, like, it's just, it leaves such a huge void in those preseason games without Pettersson and Hughes. So, you know what? Like, it sucks that this is the main storyline during camp. Like, obviously, Ylevi.
It's been pushed into the back of a lot of people's minds because there's actually stuff on the ice, which has been so great. But, yeah, you know, in the back of your minds at all times, it's like, you know, Patan's just holding a spot for Pettersson. Yep. And it's, I think, adding to the Quinn Hughes absence and kind of like putting it more deeper in our minds is that his partner's not here.
Not to mention Hamonic,
Travis Hamonic. So the fact that he's not here is kind of easing up with Quinn Hughes, because otherwise we'd be like, look at Rathbone playing with Hamonic. You know, this is a big deal for him. But because Hamonic's not here either with whatever's going on, I think that just seems to be an evolving situation. I don't think, like, because Jim Benning told us the day before on Wednesday that he was going to be there on Thursday. I think things are changing a lot. And I think Sat's kind of been reporting that quite a bit, who seems to be pretty in on the situation. Yeah. But it doesn't sound like
everyone will be vaccinated by opening night. That's what Jim said.
That was what he said. So we don't know what's exactly going on with Hamonic. But hey, before we move on, I think we'll move on from Podkolzin. But I will say my little run-in with Vasily Podkolzin and his wife.
Actually, one thing before you talk about Podkolzin, two things I wanted to bring up. We talked a bit about Garland. To be honest, one thing that I think we should establish as crucial context is a lot of the other guys, whether it's been Miller, whether it's been Horvat, whether it's been Pearson, none of those guys have really stood out either. Yeah, so I think that's important context. Like, Besser and Hoglander have looked good, but Garland is in a group of these other high-end players in terms of Horvat and Miller. So that's why I'm not reading too much into it. And
I really appreciate that, because I have struggled with context over the past 2 days, apparently, on social media. So I
Caleb
appreciate
called you up, man.
The added context there. But your other point, sorry, Harm.
I legit just forgot my other point.
Okay,
nice, well, going, Faber.
Well, hey, I'll get into the Pod Colson thing here. So I'm sitting over, I'm making coffee, and I believe her name is Sasha. Sasha is the translator.
Alexandra.
Alexandra. Sorry, the wife. Sorry, Pod Colson's wife name is Sasha. So Alexandra comes over, introduces herself. Obviously, I forgot her name already. My apologies. I'm so bad with names. But anyways, she introduced herself. We start chatting a little bit about, you know, I asked her what it's like to work with Klimovic and Pod Colson. And by the way, spoke to Klimovic today, asked him what nickname he liked, because I was like, your agent said to call you Danny. And he's like, no. He's like, you can call me Klim. I was like,
love it.
Okay. And he said it in English. He said, call me Klim. So that was good. He was kind of coming up with that. But I was talking to the interpreter, translator. I'm not sure exactly what they're going with for the name. And she was saying, like, you know, she's doing a lot more than just translating for them. Like, she is setting up the family. She's working on getting credit cards over here, setting up bank accounts. She was telling me, like, this is kind of a full-time job for her. She doesn't just show up for when we want to talk to them. She's around these two young players. And some of the things she was saying was like, you know, they're kids. Like, they're absolutely kids. Like, Pod Colson is a 20-year-old married
to... Pod Colson's younger than me.
Yeah, he's a 20-year-old that's already married, moved here with his wife. These are kids, man, that came over here. And Pod Colson, like, I loved it in his media today. Just kind of like, you could tell, like, when he got the media laughing, he loved it. Like, he absolutely loved
it. He's got a big personality.
But anyways, I'm over there talking to Translate. We're making coffee together. We're having a good chat, just kind of about, you know, what it's been like for her. Then Pod Colson comes walking over. And I just told her that I was like, hey, like, yeah, I've spent a lot of time watching Pod Colson, and I've been waking up at 3, 4 a.m. to watch a lot of his games. And then he comes over and he says something about Aquilini. So I introduced myself. I'm like, hey, Vasily, my name's Chris Faber. Like, he has to know, like, from the amount of videos I'm putting out, he has to know, like, what I was saying. So then I introduced myself. I'm like, I woke up. I was like, oh, man, it's nice to have you over here so that you're starting at 9 a.m. Your KHL games, they start here at 3 a.m. And I've been watching a lot of them over the past 2 years. He's like, then I was like, yeah, I've been waking up at 3 a.m. He's like, whoa, man, that's crazy. That's the first thing that Pod Colson has ever said to me in person, which was kind of funny. And then him and his wife, they started chatting with the translator in English,
Alexandra,
in Russian. And I just, the only thing that kept popping up was Pod Colson saying Francesco multiple times. That's so funny. I don't know what Francesco was doing with the Pod Colsons that day, but I think they might've been going out. And Pod Colson told us his favorite place, Blue Water Cafe. Surprise, surprise, that Blue Water Cafe is the spot. And that he doesn't miss his mom's cooking because his wife is such a good cook, he told us.
Nice.
So Pod Colson,
good for him,
good
man.
Good choice on the wife, I guess. If she can, you know, wife her up, absolutely. All right. One thing I wanted to get into before we let you go, Harm, you gotta get showered up because you got some shots to do tonight, Harm. We'll get into that maybe a little bit before we wrap up with you, but you got some shots to do. You gotta get the shower.
Well, get into it now. What else do we have to talk about with Harm?
Well, there's one thing I want to get Harm's point on here, and then we'll talk about Harm doing shots. But quickly, the Pullman OEL pairing. I liked a lot of the rotations today in the scrimmage. I think Pullman did a good job of creating space for Oliver Ekman-Larsson to be the shooter. I think that's something that Pullman's going to have to do. OEL is clearly the shooter on that pairing. And just like overall, that pairing to me has been the most consistently used one. Like, it's been out there the most. We haven't seen it swapped around at all through 2 days. They played with each other throughout the whole scrimmage. And I haven't hated that pairing at all. So, Harm, before you go, just some thoughts on the Pullman OEL pairing that we've seen throughout the first 2 days of camp.
Yeah, they've been fine. It's I think they've, you know, each player has had spurts where they've looked effective, and I think immediately you can tell with someone like Pullman, even though I'm personally not the biggest believer in him as a bona fide top four defenseman, you still see the skating and the size, and you're at least hopeful that with some of those physical attributes that he can leverage them in a positive way. It's just tough in this kind of camp environment, and even in preseason. Like, this is going to be a talking point in preseason for better or worse. And just with OEL and Pullman as well, It's going to be practically impossible to really get a gauge on them until we see them in regular season games, because they're going to be thrown to the wolves in matchup minutes. They're going to be going up defending the Connor McDavid line. They're going to be defending Vegas's top line with Stevenson and Pacioretty and Stone, and that's much different than defending against whoever's on Team Blue.
Ethan Kepin and Chase Waters coming
in. Yeah, so it's tough, but yeah, they've been fine. I mean, I don't really have, it's much like a lot of the other vets on the team. there's not really enough there for me to kind of have much of an opinion one way or another.
I just think that they're, I guess the way that I've seen them sort of rotate and kind of switch places when the forwards come crossing into them on two-on-two drills, I've seen just like a fluid. It seems to know, like, the thing about Pullman that I've liked so far is I think Pullman knows what he is. Like, Pullman's not going to be the guy even moving the puck out of a lot of the zone. I think he knows what he is, and that's the part that I guess I can get behind. And it's, you know, it's still a big contract for those two guys. I mean, those two guys together are making just shy of $10 million. That's a lot to ask for, you know, that's a big price tag for what you're going to see out of that pairing. But I mean, so far they've been the pairing that I've liked to watch the most in camp together. I think I'll say it that way. And I think I'm pretty confident saying that, because obviously there hasn't really been another, aside from maybe, like, you know, touches of Jack Rathbone and Luke Shen. I've seen a little bit of them together at times, and I've liked a little bit of that. But honestly, the best pairing I've seen at camp is the Pullman OEL pairing. I don't know, Quads, if you have anything to add to the, to what you've seen of OEL and Pullman.
I've actually been impressed by OEL in particular. Pullman's been fine. He's not really going to play a flashy game. You're not going to come out and say, wow, Tucker Pullman looked great today. OEL, on the other hand, like, yeah, the bag skate thing I know is a big talking point, but honestly, I told you yesterday, I thought that was like a complete non-story, so it was so funny that everybody
you and
ran
me,
away with it.
When Harmon leaves, you and I have something to get into with the bag skate, because I know you have strong opinions on something else.
Yes, I do.
And it's not OEL.
No. We'll get into that after. But as for OEL, I thought he looked great, actually. Like, I thought he was snapping passes really nicely. I thought he was skating well. He looked pretty mobile. I was impressed with him today. I really was. Like, I thought he had really good offensive IQ. Like, I couldn't find any knock in his game today. Excited to see him in preseason, because I think that's where you get your best gauge, is in these games.
The part that I liked, I guess we've talked about the IQ, was how easily OEL can find a shooting lane. Like, I found that he was getting, I don't know, maybe it's just...
No, you're right.
Maybe it's just scrimmage and guys don't want to block shots and to a certain degree, or kind of rotate his type. But, like, I noticed multiple times, there's one he rang off the crossbar, one where him and Pullman did a nice rotation and just, you know, the C opened up for OEL to get a shot off, which just, you know, gave the goalie a good shot. I believe it was Halak at the time to make the save. So I found that there were things that OEL was doing in the offensive zone that, you know, like I said, it was the best pairing I've seen.
Yep.
Harm, we'll wrap up here. We know you got to go shower, get ready for tonight, but you weren't really on board at the start with the whole, if people become a Patreon supporter, you're going to do a shot, but I think you've embraced it a little bit. Are you on board fully yet, or are you kind of half on board right now? Because we've had some new Patreon supporters come in here.
Well, here's the thing. You guys mentioned it on air yesterday without even telling me.
I think you can hear back in the recording. I listened back, and you're like, no, whoa.
whoa. When did I agree to this? And
I had nothing to do with it. Faber just, that the first time you heard about it, that was the first time I was hearing about it, too.
Those are my best ideas right off the top.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Once you say it on air and people actually start subscribing to the Patreon, you can't let them down. You can't give them a false promise.
That's what I'm talking about, Harm.
That's
Harm
is slimy.
Company man.
Harm is a Canucks.
You should be working for CAA.
Absolutely. We'd get a deal done. We would make it happen. But yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to record a Patreon after this. You guys got some squish to get into. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We'll do a little Patreon here, a little pre-drink Patreon. But Harm, appreciate you stopping by for the first half again. Just you and me tomorrow, man.
Yeah.
Just you and me on the pod tomorrow. So we're going to
goalie talk.
Giving quads. Oh, thank goodness. You know what? We should bring Woodley in. And just when he gets in there and puts the mic up, be like, thanks a lot, Woodley. Get out of here. We'll do something with Woodley for sure.
Disrespect Woodley like that.
I think we'll bring in a guest
Why
tomorrow.
Are skaters superior to goalies?
Yes, me and Harm, we should just never let him talk. You and me, me the whole time, just players, not talking about goaltenders. That would be amazing.
Why would goalies never deserve big contracts?
Make up for the stupid episode where you talk about you guys are going in on USA's third string goalie about 45 minutes into the pod.
Woodley would actually love that take. Woodley like stands by the take that goalies shouldn't get big contracts. Like he always says that. He's like, yeah, don't sign a goaltender longer than 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, he needs a big contract, Harm. Now that he's on the team with the Patreon, he's pumping it. We're doing some shots tonight. We'll see what happens. I'm expecting a DDDDDD
tweet. You got to tweet it. You got to tweet it.
We'll see what happens. We're gonna have a good time tonight with a couple other people as well. So it's going to be a fun night. Harm, we'll let you go here. You got a big day tomorrow co-hosting with me. Maybe even hosting again. We might get you back in the doing the intro. We'll see what happens. But Harm, thanks for stopping by, man. We'll see you for day 3 of training camp.
Thanks as always, boys.
So we'll throw to a quick ad break now, and Quads and I will ride this bus all the way to the end. Folks, summer might be over, but the time to drink Squish is never over. This drink is taking its way into the fall, into the winter, and this is the perfect beverage for everyone. It's not one of those zero-calorie drinks that has no flavor and just tastes like tonic water. These ones have some flavor, folks. Squish Beverage, you can find it all over BC liquor stores, but I'm telling you, you got to do a little bit of digging. You got to go to some private liquor stores. If you find it, tweet at us about it because other listeners want to know where they can find the Squish Lemonade. Comes in a variety of flavors. My favorite, Squish Lemonade Passion Fruit or Squish Lemonade Pineapple. Kind of lean towards pineapple most of the time. So go out and find Squish at your local BC liquor stores or do some of that digging and find the Squish Lemonades at private liquor stores across British Columbia. All right, folks, you know what time it is? We are here to talk about our favorite beer sponsor, Parallel 49 Beer. One of the go-tos, Quads. You can find this one at most restaurants, too. A lot of restaurants, I've yes. seen it around. The Trash Panda, Simple, one of the longest standing beers from Parallel 49. Highly recommend going out to try it. Not just the beers, though. But the patio, Quads. The patio at 1950 Triumph Street. Tell the folks about some food and the sweet little drinks on the side that I know you like.
So the Muddler's Pink Lemonade is my go-to. But man, the food there. Cheeseburgers, chicken burger. The spicy chicken burger was fantastic. Sub the pickles, right? Get the pickles instead Absolutely. Of jalapenos. Poutine I had. Fantastic. They got some green onion in there. And it's nice and melted. The worst thing about a bad... Like, what makes a poutine bad is when the cheese is not melted. This one, it's melted, and it's very, very good. So go down, check that out. The poutine, the burger, the spicy chicken sandwich. What was that last thing we got?
We got some wings.
The wings, the Korean barbecue wings.
But they're also putting a roof over there. They're working on it for the fall, so it's not just going to be the patio. We got rained out the other day trying to go to Parallel 49, but they're putting a roof over it. The beers are always fresh. So many different beers on tap there. So go out and try some Parallel 49 beer. You can get it at every liquor store you can find and also get on the 1950 Triumph Street to check out the street kitchen.
All right. And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Chris, just wrapped up with Harmon. What were your thoughts about the bag skate? And I'm gonna start with you here because I don't want to just dive into it because people can already guess what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
But, your thoughts on the bag skate as a whole?
Man, I mean, the biggest problem was my video, I guess. And, you know, I understand that it sucks that it went out of context. The video of OEL went out there like crazy of him slacking. And I probably was in the wrong for tweeting a little bit of it that way. But I've also just, man, like, you've seen the messages that I've been getting in DMs. Yeah. It's...
No, I mean, I feel
like that's a little bit far.
I'll go after them.
I know. I know. It's not. I don't know. Social media. Like I've never had this like reaction to things on social media. So it's been a crappy couple days here. But I'm just trying. Like I said earlier, I'm just trying to get all the videos out to people. And it's too bad that people are only seeing that tweet from the timeline. Because I think the people that have been following me that are watching all the videos maybe understood a little bit more. But it got completely taken out of context.
Well, because here's and that's the thing: a problem. Is you tweeted about OEL in a very positive manner before and after that. So it was like you made a sandwich.
Oh, you know what? OEL, I thought, has been better, way better than I thought. Yeah. Like all weekend.
OEL's been good.
I think he's been way better than I expected.
Yeah.
Like he does snap the puck when he moves it. He does do a really good job of like getting pucks on net, which I think is such a struggle for so many defensemen. OEL does a good job of getting pucks on net. He's done it throughout this whole and honestly, even moving around, it's been better than I thought. It is like people are like, oh, like this is people are replying to that tweet like, oh, it's Alex Edler all over again. Like, man,
no, it is not.
If you saw Alex Edler, if you've watched Alex Edler for the last 3 years and you just watched OEL at training camp, OEL moves so much better than Alex Edler.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really noticeable right off the bat. And like I said, that's been the best pairing by a mile to me at camp.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Him and Pullman, like, they're working well together. So I don't know, man. I'm trying to put these videos out so people can like feel like they're at training camp or anything report. But then when one of them goes like that, it's like that's like the only thing I've posted all weekend. It's like, and then even today, you know, I was like, I made a real conscious effort to not tweet on anything negative because I just didn't want that to happen again. Because like, man, some of the freaking crap that I was getting on Twitter, like, it was just ridiculous. Like, I understand to a certain degree because if someone just saw that tweet, but I'm just like, this is what I've been trying to do at every training camp is put out as many videos as possible because that's what people want, I feel like. And it like it's anyways, I just want to move on from that, but let's get to the other part.
Yeah, as I'm about to bury Ollie,
you're about to bury someone.
Well, okay, here's the thing,
let me set it up for you.
Sure.
Ollie Olevi absolutely struggles in the skate. That's one part of it, right? I don't even think that's the biggest part of it, if I, no, if it I was not. Being honest. If he definitely struggled, he was behind everyone, but it wasn't about struggling in the skate. I think it was about how he showed after.
Yep. Yep.
And I'll let you kind of take it from there, Quads, why you think that was the bigger problem.
So, some context, right? Because context matters, Chris.
We really need context on this show. I'm going to be giving so much context over the next 2 weeks here.
Oh, man. Okay, so some context. They're doing battle drills. Ollie Olevi's up against Vasily Podkolzin. Doesn't look that bad in a couple board battle drills. Woodley threw this out there yesterday when we were talking, and he's like, it looked like Ollie might have emptied the tank before that, but if you've been listening to this show for more than a week, you'll know that I've always had doubts about Ollie Olevi's game, always wanted to see more from him. We said going into this training camp, this was his chance. This was, you know, maybe he learned how to pivot over the summer, learned how to skate. That would be fantastic.
I was on the hype train on this show. You were, for a long
and
time.
I wasn't even going to like say anything bad about him until I saw him, right? Well, now I've seen him, and this is what happened. Ollie Olevi does okay in that battle drill against Vasily Podkolzin, goes to the bag skate right from the get-go, is last in his group, and then that margin got bigger and bigger until he was so far back that he basically glided to the end of it, collapsed like he had been shot in the corner. And by the way, like, folks, he's a pro athlete. Like, a lot of people will point to this and say, oh, well, I'd like to see you do better. And it's like, okay, first of all, I can stop on skates on a good day, like a proper hockey stop and turn around like that on a good day. Like, I'd be face first in the boards. But that's why I'm not paid millions of dollars or thousands of dollars.
$750,000.
That's why I'm not paid money. Nobody pays money to watch me skate or to play hockey. Okay? There's a reason for that. Okay?
You gotta pay to skate.
Exactly. I gotta pay to skate. I gotta pay to skate or play hockey. So, folks, like, before you come at me with that, just hear me out here. So Olevi collapses, and this isn't even me just trying to bury him or anything like that. Like, that is not a good look. And if you think I'm just making that up, JT Miller skates over to him, says, I believe what we could hear was, are you tired or are you okay or are you just tired? And then afterward, told him to get on his feet.
As soon as he said that, he got up to his knees. And then after that, he said, stay up, get up.
Yeah. Yeah. And him
maybe
and Myers.
Way, get up, stay up. It was, yeah. You know, Miller, there were reporters down at the end there.
Miller and Myers were telling him to get on his feet.
It was Miller first. And then the second time Myers, it was Myers, yeah. And Miller came over again.
Yeah. Because, you know, he wasn't getting up.
After going, Miller was in the same group, right? Yes. Like, because that was the same group. Miller and Myers are both in the same group. The fact that they had the wherewithal to get over there, because the reason that we heard from the reporter that was down there was that a camera went over straight over to them. Whether I believe it was, what's the news? The news station Province has been out there, I think, the most. It was a Province news camera that went right over there to Ollie Olevi and started getting on the camera there. And it was like, that's when they said, like, hey, listen, this is going to be all over the news. Yeah. And obviously the pictures were out there from, you know, I had tweeted out a picture.
Yeah.
A lot of other fans tweeted out pictures as well, because it wasn't just like, listen, if he was on one knee and bent over,
nobody's
really
batting
struggling,
an eye.
Nobody's saying anything.
But all they're saying is you finished rolling. Last in your bag.
Yeah.
Skate.
And he looked tired and leaned over, but the dude was flat on his back at one point, curdled up in the corner. Like, literally face and body into the corner. The only reason to be like that as a professional athlete, to me, was if there's something wrong.
Yes.
And whether that be an injury or long-term effects of COVID, I've seen a lot of people saying that's
a lot of
problem.
People definitively saying
a
that.
Lot of people saying that that's definitely
I'd
it.
Love to hear their source on that, because we haven't heard anything about
nobody's
that.
Nobody's heard anything about that, absolutely. And if it is, damn, that's really bad. But you know what? It's a very Ollie Olevi thing would be if injuries were hurting his career again. I mean, it's so unfortunate, because listen, I have been really hoping that Ollie Olevi was bouncing back. And I really think that today, seeing the message that was sent to see that he was dropped down off, because he started with Tyler Myers. Devontae Stevens ends up playing the whole practice with Tyler Myers. And who is Ollie Olevi playing with? The bottom pairing guy, Victor Pearson.
Rotating with Pearson and
rotating,
Keeper.
And not even just rotating. Like, Pearson was one guy and Keeper was the other partner. But it's not like he was just, it's not like just those two were were like rotating with Ylevi. Ylevi was rotating out as well. That was Ylevi was in the bottom of the barrel for defensemen after being with Tyler Myers in a prime spot at day one that looked like he was going to start in an NHL lineup. If the decision would have been made before day one of camp, Ylevi would have been in the NHL lineup. That's what him playing with Tyler Myers told me. Day two, he's nowhere near an NHL lineup. And a message was sent from the organization with that.
Management cannot be happy about that because, look, Francesco Aquilini's in the building, but there's also a bunch of fans in the building. I don't know if you saw some of those Twitter videos that people were taking of Ylevi. People were laughing. Like, you don't want that for your organization. It's a bad look. Like, we get it. You're tired. That sucks. And again, I'm not trying to throw stones out of my glass house here, but man, that is not a good look for a pro athlete in the biggest sports team in this city, Abbotsford.
And first time having fans back at an event. Literally, like, all of last season, no fans.
Yeah.
This is the first day and you have that. It's horrible.
And when you have these hype videos of Travis Green being like, training camps is like what it's like to be a Canuck. Like, we want guys who are, you know, have the Canuck mentality. And it's like, is that it? Because I don't think it is. And I know Travis Green doesn't think it is. I know Jim Benning doesn't. And if you're the Sedins watching that, man, like, what are you thinking about that? Because we know what kind of shape those guys are in at every training camp. And it was funny because this morning, my tweet of the Ylevi video clearly went into some NHL alumni group chat because within the span of 10 minutes, like three former players tweeted it out. And Maxime Lapierre, former Vancouver Canuck, tweeted in French. He said, "I'd love to see this happen with Tortorella as the coach." And he's got a point.
Yeah, he does. And you know what, man, I had all the hope in the world for Ole Ylevi. And I don't think this has completely derailed his chance of being in the NHL. But man, the fact that Brad Hunt, the fact that Jack Rathbone have just been solid throughout camp. I think Brad Hunt might be the guy who's almost won the job at this point. You know, Rathbone to me, it's like,
you absolutely take Hunt and Rathbone over Ylevi. No right question.
Now, right now you absolutely
always.
Right now, you absolutely do. I think you got to get.
And last season.
I think preseason games have to happen before it's completely written off. Because
and then you'll see even further.
Waiving a fifth overall pick is still too much of a big deal for a GM.
Whatever. You need your team to actually have bodies, capable bodies. And right now, Ole Ylevi is not a capable NHL body. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
That's what
here.
I'm saying.
He's not getting claimed. Nobody's going to claim Ole Ylevi. If someone claims Ole Ylevi, I'll take 8 shots. Like, of whatever you want. I don't care. Nobody's claiming Ole Ylevi. He's going to get waived. He's going to pass. He's going to play in Abbotsford. Nobody is going to claim Ole Ylevi. There's going to be a GM listening to this and being like, I want to see this guy take 8 shots.
Man, somebody's claiming Ole Ylevi.
Nobody's claiming Ole Ylevi. Are you serious? If you claim a player, he has to be on your roster and he has to play. What team do you look at their depth chart? Their defense pairings and say, oh, Ole Ylevi could slip in right there.
I can give you one team.
If he was right-handed, maybe.
I can give you one team. Who? Absolutely. You think Louis Erickson wants his boy.
Get out of here.
You're telling me that the Arizona Coyotes wouldn't pick him up off of waivers?
No chance.
A former fifth overall pick making league minimum?
No chance.
Absolutely
no chance.
Arizona would.
No, I got
to
pull up.
Arizona needs to tank.
I got to pull up their depth chart.
They got Chychrun and then nobody else.
I refuse to believe that.
And by the way, see the pictures of Louis Erickson today?
Yes. Fantastic. Louis getting his showtime. I'm so happy for him. He's going to play.
Tell you what, he looks good in Phoenix, whatever their colors are. I don't even really know.
The Kachina jerseys are beautiful.
Yeah. I can see a team taking a risk on a former fifth overall pick.
Dude, okay. They have Shane Goss to spare now and Victor Soderstrom. There's no place for Ole Ylevi. No place.
Soderstrom, he's a right D.
Yeah, no, okay. Okay, look at... Dude, Anton Strahlman is their third lefty. You think Ole Ylevi is bumping Anton Strahlman?
No, but he might be playing, you know, seventh defenseman.
No, he's got to play if he gets claimed on waivers. He can't just sit on the...
Is that a rule?
Yeah, he has to play.
What?
Yeah, he can't just sit.
I thought you can just stay on the NHL team.
On the NHL roster?
Yeah.
All right, this is the fun part of the show where I Google rules.
Oh my
rules.
Goodness, here we go. No, let's just wrap. This doesn't really matter.
It does matter. Of course
it matters.
Because
Ylevi's going to get picked up by somebody.
No, nobody is going to pick up Ole Ylevi. Please stop with this. Nobody. We got to make some sort of bet, like beyond the shots.
I've been making bets all day. You know, me and Harm, we got a good bet. Maybe Harm and I will talk about that tomorrow. We got a decent little bet going on ourselves. I don't know. Maybe I'm still just too high on Ole Olevi. Maybe that's
my
problem.
Yeah, you are. Clearly. Very, quite clearly.
Like, I understand what happened today, or what happened on the first day, and I understand that that really just left a real bad... How does that not leave a sour taste in... You mentioned the Sedins. You think the Sedins would hate that. You show up to camp, and that's what you're looking... Listen, you finish bad.
Here's what I want to say.
Look at what the Sedins probably thought of OEL. Nothing. Just like everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah, so what? OEL was... A little bit, you know, pretty far behind, to be honest.
First Travis Green bag skate. This is only, he's like, what, fourth?
OEL looked fine in the first two. It looked struggled in the third one. That was the biggest problem with my damn tweet, so I didn't tweet that as part of it. But listen, I had a good caption, I thought.
It was funny, but you can't be funny anymore.
I know. You can't be funny. I've learned that. It's been a, man, I'm not going to mention
people
that.
Are very sensitive about their hockey team.
I was, you know what?
I'm fully expecting to get some death threats over saying Ole Olevi's still bad.
Driving to the rink today, I was in a very sad mood.
Oh.
Being 100% honest.
Look what you people did.
No, I'm never sad. And I was just like, man, I've never had like social media come at me that way. And I know that I was probably in the wrong certain way for sending that tweet. But man, some of the things I think were a little bit too far.
People definitely cross the line with you. Yeah. But man,
I know that these people have like three followers or they have two followers. Yeah. But still, like, I don't know. The words kind of hurt, man. I was in a sad mood driving up into the rink.
Just tweet something bad about Triamkin, and that gets everybody on you as well.
Well, I had a really funny joke that I wanted to tweet out in the morning. I just couldn't do it. I showed you the joke. It would have been so good. I changed it to a Triamkin.
Look how sad it just got in here. Look what you
people did.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming the assholes.
No, I'm feeling better. I felt like I had a good positive day for Canucks Twitter to enjoy training camp. And I'm sorry for screwing up about the tweet.
Oh, whatever. You don't need to apologize.
Well, I mean, it's just the context part.
You definitely screwed up a little bit. But yeah, like, it did not warrant the reaction that it got. It did not. We've all screwed up. Everybody said stepped in a moment. If that's your stepped in a moment,
been 150,000 people watching it because that video was nuts.
No, I don't. The only people what is didn't my pick stepped up in was a moment? Can you think of one?
Huh?
My stepped in it moment. I don't think I've had one yet.
I mean, the boots today might have been a stepped in it moment. Those things were.
Man, so
you stepped into those and you stepped in
it. I wore
it right
Timberlands,
after.
Folks, to training camp, and then Chris and I had to walk across the UFV campus to go to Tim Hortons. We didn't even get to chill there. We like went there for a couple minutes and left.
Thought they had Wi-Fi. The freaking whole campus, no Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'm walking around in my Timberlands. My feet are just so sore. I got to go to Mission tomorrow.
You didn't bring another pair of shoes.
I did not bring another pair of shoes. Yeah.
Jeez, I mean, those were a bold choice. There's a picture on my phone that's just of those boots. Because I didn't know you owned those.
They're great. I love them. Timberlands, they're beautiful. Beautiful shoes. Make me look taller.
Oh, they do. And I noticed today you're standing on a lot of top of inclines.
Ledges, yeah.
Yeah, you were standing
on
things.
Gotta be strategic, man.
Yeah.
I was sat tight for a day. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah, Riccio walked up, and I think he walked away. He's like, geez, I thought that quads kid was short, and Riccio walked up, and he was right out of there. Riccio was getting ready for Chara picture point 2.0. He saw you in those Tims. I saw your Tinder profile get updated to 5'11". that's what those Tims have been doing.
Oh, man.
Hey, all right. We're going to get into it. Harm's off showering. He's going to come back. We're going to rock the Patreon. If people like quickly listen to this, maybe you can get it, and we'll be doing some shots around 10. We're going to get out to a spot, do a couple shots around 10. If you're a Patreon subscriber by 10, we got 5 people so far signed up to the Patreon. Harmon, you said you'll take some too. I'll take some as well.
Yeah, because Harmon never agreed. We feel kind of bad, but we got to stick with it.
But he's on board. He told us on the show.
Dude, he's a good dude.
Yeah, we got some squish for him too. We'll get into that on the Patreon. But hey, we're going to pretty much jump right into that. We're going to take a little break here and hop right into the Patreon, have a couple drinks, have some fun. So if you want to jump on the Patreon, it's going to be a lot of fun. You can head over to patreon.com/CanucksConvo. For all the fun stuff there. $5 will get Harm to take a shot, and we'll get you access to all the episodes. $10 will get you in the hero tier, where we're going to figure out our giveaways pretty damn soon here. We got to get some giveaways out to some folks at the hero tier. So get in the hero tier if you want to get in on the giveaways, t-shirts, all that stuff. We'll get you some fun stuff out there. So we'll wrap things up there. Quad's taking the day off tomorrow on the podcast. He won't be around. It's just going to be me and Harm.
Very excited.
I'm excited too. I'm actually excited about that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, I think me and Harm might try. I think we might bring somebody in. We're probably going to do the recording in the arena again. That was a lot of fun. So we'll probably bring someone by. Hopefully it's not Woodley, because Woodley's always just hanging around trying to get on freaking podcasts. That's all this guy does. He's sitting out there talking about goalie mask and lending pads to Halak, all this stuff. Anyways, we'll wrap things up there. We're going to record a Patreon right now, have a little fun on a Saturday night. So appreciate everyone tuning in. Appreciate all the support for the show over the past week here. We're going to have another episode for you for the final day of training camp. So for my co-host that has left, Harmon Dial, my co-host David Quadrelli, and myself, Chris Faber, thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
It's Friday, not Saturday. You said have fun on a Saturday night.
We'll have fun on Saturday night too.
We will.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.